Blog Talk Radio.
New, direct.
Hello out there in podcast land. We welcome you to an Hodge to Hodge production. This is the Messenger Edition. This is Nurse Carmen and co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And now we will have a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge. Again, thank you for tuning in.
Good evening and thank you. We come to you tonight with another conversation, just letting you know that you are using all of life, all of many lives, to be and decide who you really are, to choose and to create who you really are, to experience and to fulfill your current idea about yourself. You are in an internal moment of self-creation and self-fulfillment through the process of self-expression. You have drawn the people's events and circumstances of your life to you as tools with which to fashion the grandest version of the greatest vision you ever had about yourself. This process of creation and recreation is ongoing, never-ending, and multiple layers. It's all happening right now and on many levels. In your linear reality, you see the experience as one of the past, the present, and the future. You imagine yourself to have one life, or perhaps many, but surely only one at a time. But what if there were no time? Then you will be having all your lives at once. And you are. You are living this life, your present realized life, in your past, your present, and your future all at once. Have you ever had a strange foreboding about some future event so powerful that it made you turn away from it? In our language, we would call that a premonition. From God's viewpoint, it is simply an awareness you suddenly have of something you've just experienced in your future. Your future you is saying, hey, this was no fun. Don't do this. You are also living other lives, what you call past lives, right now as well. Although you experience them as having been in your past, if you've experienced them at all, and that is just as well, it would be very difficult for you to play this wonderful game of life if you had full awareness of what is going on. Even this description offered here cannot give you that. If it did, the game would be over. The process depends on the process being completed as it is, including your lack of total awareness at this stage. So bless the process and accept it as the greatest gift of the kindest creator. Embrace the process and move through it with peace and wisdom and joy. Use the process and transform it from something you endure to something you engage as a tool in the creation of the most magnificent experience of all times, the fulfillment of the divine self. Now you may say, how can I do that best? Do not waste the precious moments of this. Your present reality, seeking to unveil all of life's secrets. Those secrets are secrets for a reason. Granted your God the benefit of the doubt. Use your now moment for the highest purpose, the creation and the expression of who you really are. Decide who you are, who you want to be, then do everything in your power to be that. Use what God have told you about time as a framework within your limited understanding upon which to place the construction of your grandest idea. If an impression comes to you about the future, honor it. If an idea comes to you about a past life, see if it has any use for you. Don't simply ignore it. Most of all, if a way is made known to you to create, display, express, and experience your divine self and even more glory right here, right now, follow that way. And a way will be made known to you because you have asked. For you cannot be right now before your very eyes without an open mind, an open heart, and a soul which is ready to know. The same is true for those who are hearing this, for you have created it too. How else could they now be experiencing it? Everyone is creating everything now being experienced, which is another way of saying that God is creating everything now being experienced, for God is everyone. Are you getting the symmetries here? Are you seeing the perfection? It is all contained in a single truth. And that single truth is there is only one of us. Space is time demonstrated. In truth, there is no such thing as space, pure empty space with nothing in it. Everything is something. Even the emptiest space is filled with vapors so thin, so stretched out over infinite areas that they seem to not be there. Then, after the vapors are gone, there is energy, pure energy. This manifests as vibrations, oscillations, movements of the all at a particular frequency. Invisible energy is that space which holds matter together. Once using your linear time as a model, all the matter in the universe was condensed into a tiny speck. You cannot imagine the denseness of this, but that is because you think that matter as it now exists is dense. Actually, what you now call matter is mostly space. All solid objects are 2% solid matter and 90% air. The space between the tiniest particle of matter and all objects is enormous. It is something like the distance between heavenly bodies and your night sky. Yet these objects you call solid. At one point, the entire universe actually was solid. There was virtually no space between the particles of matter. All the matter had the space taken out of it, and with this enormous space gone, that matter filled an area smaller than the head of a pin. There was actually a time before that time when there was no matter at all, just the purest form of highest vibration energy, which you would call antimatter. This was the time, before the physical universe as you know it existed. Nothing existed as matter. Some people conceived of this as paradise or heaven because nothing was the matter.
Okay.
I'm going to say that one more time. I'm glad you caught it, but for those mm-hmm. that tune in later on so that they can better understand that there was the time, before the physical universe as we know it existed, nothing existed as matter. Some people conceived of this as paradise or heaven because nothing was the matter. It is no accident that today in our language, when you suspect something is wrong, you say, "What's the matter?" In the beginning, pure energy, God, vibrated, oscillated so fast as to form matter, all the matter of the universe. You too can perform the same feat. In fact, you do every day. Your thoughts are pure vibration, and they can do create physical matter. If enough of you hold the same thought, you can impact and even create portions of your physical universe. This was explained in some of our earlier conversations. Then we say, is the universe now expanding at a rate of speed you cannot imagine? Will it expand forever? No, there will come a time when the energy driven the expansion will dissipate, and the energies holding things together will take over, pulling everything back together again. And I said everything, pulling everything mm-hmm. back together again.
Okay.
So do you mean the universe will contract? Yes, exactly. Well, we'll quite literally fall into place, and you will have paradise again. No matter, pure energy, in other words, just God. In the end, it will all come back to God. This is the origin of your phase. It all comes down to this. So that means we will no longer exist, not in the physical form, but you will always exist. You cannot not exist. You are that which is. So then what will happen after the universe collapses? The whole process will start over again. There will be another so-called Big Bang, and another universe will be born. It will expand and contract. And then it will do the same thing over again and again and again, forever and ever, world without end. This is the breathing in and the breathing out of God. Well, you say, well, this is all, again, very interesting, but it has very little to do with your everyday life. And as I've said before, spending an inordinate amount of time trying to unravel the deepest mysteries of the universe is probably not the most efficient use of your life. Yet there are benefits to be gained from these simple layman descriptions of the larger process. You say, like what? Like understanding that all things are cyclical. Including life itself. Understanding about the life of the universe will help you to understand about the life of the universe inside you. Life moves in cycles. Everything is cyclical. Everything. When you understand this, you become more able to enjoy the process, not merely endure it. All things are cyclical, There is a natural rhythm to life, and everything moves to that rhythm. Everything goes with that flow. Thus it is written, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Wise is the one who understands this. Clever is the one who uses it. Few people understand the rhythm of life more than women. Women live their whole lives by rhythms. There are rhythms with life itself. Women are more able to go with the flow than men. Men want to push, pull, resist, direct the flow. Women experience it. They mold with it to produce the harmony. A woman hears the melody of flowers in the wind. She sees the beauty of the unseen. She feels the tugs and the pulls and urges of life. She knows when it's time to run and time to rest, time to laugh and time to cry, time to hold on and time to let go.
Yeah.
Most women leave their bodies gracefully. Most men fight the departure. Women treat their bodies more graceful when they are in them, too. Men treat their bodies horrible. This is the same way they treat life. Of course, there are exceptions to every rule. I'm speaking here in generality. I'm speaking of how things have been until now. I'm speaking in the broadest terms. But if you look at life, you admit to yourselves what you are seeing, have seen. If you acknowledge this is so, you may find truth in this generality. Yet, that might make people feel sad. That might make them feel as though women are somehow superior beings, that they have more of the right stuff than men. Part of the glorious rhythm of life is the yin and the yang. One aspect of being is not more perfect or better than another. Both aspects are simply and wonderfully that aspects. Men obviously embody other reflections of divinity, which women eyes with equal envy. Yet it has been said that being a man is your testing ground or your probation. When you have been a man long enough, when you have suffered enough through your own foolishness, when you have inflicted enough pain through the calamities of your own creation, when you have hurt others enough to stop your own behaviors, to replace aggression with reason, contempt with compassion, always winning with no one losing, then you may become a woman. When you have learned that might is not right, that strength is not power over, but power with, that absolute power demands of others absolutely nothing. When you understand these things, then you may deserve to wear a woman's body, for you will at least have understood her essence. Then you will say, then a woman is better than a man. No, not better, different. It is we that make that judgment. There is no such thing as better or worse. An objective reality. There is only what is and what you wish to be. Hot is not better than cold, nor better, nor up better than down. You know, I've said this many times before. Hence, female is no better than male. It just is what it is, just as you are what you are. Yet none of you are restricted, more limited. You can be what you wish to be. Choose what you wish to experience in this lifetime or the next after that, just as you did in the lifetime before. Each of you is always at choice. Each of you is made up of all of it. There is male and female in each of us. Express and experience that aspect of you which it pleases you to express and experience. You know that it is all open to each of you. So I think it's time that we talk. Well, we've only got a few minutes. I was getting ready to say that. I think it's time we talk about sex. We've talked about it before, but I want to say this: not shame, not with guilt, and not with fear. For shame is not virtue, and guilt is not goodness, and fear is not honor. And not with lust, for lust is not passion, and not with abandon, for abandon is not freedom, and not with aggression, for aggression is not eagerness. And obviously, not with the idea of control or power of dominion, for these have nothing to do with love, but may sex be used for purpose of simple personal gratification? The surprising answer is yes, because personal gratification is just another word for self-love. Personal gratification has gotten a bad rap through the years, which is the main reason so much guilt is attracted to sex. You are told you are not to use for personal gratification something which is intensely personal gratifying. This obvious contradiction is apparent to you, but you don't know where to go with the conclusion. So you decided that if you feel guilty about how good you're feeling during and after sex, that will at least make it all right. It's not unlike the famous singer you all know, whom I will not name here, who received millions of dollars for singing her song. Asked to comment on her incredible success and the riches it has brought her, she says, "I feel almost guilty because I love doing this so much." The implications is clear. If it is something you love doing, you should not also be rewarded additionally with money. Most people earn money by doing something they hate or something that is at least hard work, not endless joy. So the world's message is, if you feel negatively about it, then you can enjoy it. Guilt is often used by us in an attempt to feel bad about something you feel good about, and thus reconcile yourself with God, who you think does not want you to feel good about anything. You are especially not to feel good about joys of the body, and absolutely not about your grandmother, as she used to whisper, S-E-X. Well, the good news is it's all right to love sex. It's also all right to love yourself. In fact, it's mandatory. What does not serve you is to become addicted to sex or anything else. But it is okay to fall in love with it. Practice saying this 10 times each day. I love sex. Practice saying this 10 times. I love money. Now, you want a really tough one? Try saying this 10 times. I love me.
Amen.
Here are some other things you are not supposed to love. Practice loving them. Practice loving power. Practice loving glory. Practice loving fame. Practice loving success. Practice loving winning. If you want some more, try these. You should really feel guilty if you love these. The adoration of others. Being better, having more, knowing how, knowing why. Had enough? Wait, here's the ultimate guilt. You should feel the ultimate gift if you feel that you know God. Now, isn't this interesting? All through your life, you have been made to feel guilty about the things you want most. Yet, I tell you this, love the things you desire, for your love of them draws them to you. These things are the stuff of life. When you love them, you love life. When you declare them, you desire them. You announce that you chose all the good that life has to offer. So choose sex, all the sex you can get, and choose power, all the power you can muster, and choose fame, all the fame you can attain, and choose success, all the success you can achieve, and choose winning, all the winning you can experience. Yet, do not choose sex instead of love, but as a celebration of it. And do not choose power over, but power with. Do not choose fame as an end in itself, but as a means to a larger end. And do not choose success at the expense of others, but as a tool with which to assist others. And do not choose winning at any cost, but winning at the cost others nothing, and even bring them gain as well. Now go ahead and choose the adorations of others, but see all others as being upon which you can shower adoration and do it. Go ahead and choose being better, but not better than others, rather better than you were before. Go ahead and choose having more, but only so that you have more to give. And yes, choose knowing how and knowing why so that you can share all knowledge with others. And by all means, choose to know God. In fact, choose this first, and all else will follow. All of your life, you have been taught that it is better to give than to receive. Yet, you cannot give what you do not have. This is why self-gratification is so important, and why it is so unfortunate that it has come to sound so ugly. Obviously, self-gratification is the expense of others is not what we're talking about here. This is not about ignoring the needs of others, yet life should also not have to be about ignoring your own needs. Give yourself abundant pleasure, and you will have abundant pleasure to give others. The masters of tantric sex knows this. That's why they encourage masturbation, which some of you actually call a sin. But see, we've made a judgment about it. We've made a judgment about masturbation. We judge everything when we should not be judging anything. And then it's so offensive to others, and I'm not here to deliberately offend anyone. People are free to be offended or not as they choose. Yet, do you really think it's going to be possible for us to candidly and openly talk about human sexuality without someone to be offended? So if these conversations are to be limited to what most people are ready to hear about God, then it's going to be a small conversation. Most people are never ready to hear what God talks about when God is talking about it. They usually wait 2,000 years. So we are about to come to the close of this podcast, this conversation. I hope that you'll been able to get something out of it. You can always go to Hodge to Hodge Podcast and pull up these podcasts at any time and listen to them over. But I ask that you do that so that you can come to the knowledge and better understand not what it is that I want you to. I want your soul to be able to talk to you, to be able to tell you what you should be doing. Not because I've said it, because your soul is letting you know that that is the correct path for you. I thank you all for tuning in and listening, and I pray and ask that you come back. We'll be back on Thursday at 9 o'clock with another conversation. Nurse Carmen, I thank you. Take care and have a fantastic week. Good night, everyone. Amen. When I see Jesus, amen.
Hey!